Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. There Israel camped before the mountain of the Lord, while Moses went up to God. And God descended on the mountain in a thick cloud with lightning and with fire, and the mountain trembled because of his presence. The people trembled also, because they were terrified of the presence of God. While Moses was on the mountain, he received the commandments that we have heard today. But the people of Israel wanted to only hear from Moses and not from the Lord, because they were afraid. Moses told them, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." God wanted to impress upon the Israelites so that they would understand just how seriously he takes these commandments. Because this law, these 10 commandments that he has given to them, would be their guide as they go in and take possession of the land which he promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. These commandments showed them how they were to live perfectly with God and perfectly with one another. For God has taken them from nothing, brought them out of bondage, and made them to be his people, to be his priesthood before the world. And so God gave them these commandments to protect them and to guide them as his treasured possession, because he wanted to bless them and he wanted them to be a blessing. And so he told them he was a jealous God, because he did not want them to go astray from these words. For walking down any other path other than obeying these commandments would lead them only into death and destruction. So God came to test them, that the fear of him may be before them, that they may not sin. But this law was not meant only for the Israelites. It was given to them that they might share it with the world. For this is the law that God meant for all people throughout the ages. The 10 commandments are the very foundation of God's moral law, the cornerstone of which is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. These are to remind us what God demands from us, what his will is for his people. In his commandments, we see the level of God's holiness and the perfection that it requires of us. And we know when we see these commandments that we fall short of that perfection. For we are a sinful people. But instead of admitting our weakness, instead of confessing our sins, we have often formed a habit of taking God's law into our own hands, of molding them to what we will, or to set apart pieces of God's law so that we can pretend that on our own we have made our way straight, that we have figured it all out, that we have gotten wise. For that reason, the presence of God no longer inspires fear in the sinful heart. And Moses' words fall flat. God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. So when Jesus shows up in the temple and sees how the people have treated the holy place of God, how they have been carrying themselves in the presence of God, that they have defiled the Lord's house by turning it into a common marketplace, even bringing animals inside to dwell, to do their business wherever it may be on the floor of God's house. He is consumed with a zeal for the Lord's house. He fashions together a whip of cords and drives those who would ignore God's word and who have no regard for his commands, pretending that they themselves had figured it all out and had it all together and considered themselves clever. He drives them from God's house, from his temple, and from God's presence. I often wonder how much we have in common with those money changers. Have the commandments become to us a mere decoration, something to hang on the walls of City Hall or even perhaps our own homes, but not dwelling within our hearts? We all learn the Ten Commandments in confirmation class, but how well do we remember them, much less think about them? How well do we seek out the commandments for their instruction and guidance? Did you even consider when you entered today that you were entering the house of the Lord, that you were drawing into his presence? Yet when we came and confessed our sins, how many of us just recited those words without any reflection upon ourselves? How often have we turned the house of God into halls of gossip or grumbling? How often have we turned our own hearts, the temple of the Holy Spirit, toward envy or lust or hatred or drunkenness? How often have we found the ways to squander the good gifts that God has given to us away? How often have we told God that his law is not welcomed in our lives because we are satisfied with living in our sin, with living in our filth? How often have we lived ignoring the laws of God, which were given to the Israelites so that they knew how to live holy among an unholy people. And instead, we have turned toward the culture to take our cues and not God's own word. How often have we told God that his law has no place in our lives because we have figured it all out and we have become wiser than him? When Jesus drove those money changers out of the temple, in their cleverness, the Jews demanded a sign to know by what authority Jesus had done these things. The truth is, Jesus had already performed many signs, but he says to them now, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews believed that was talking about the second temple, the temple erected by King Herod. But in fact, he was referring to the temple of his body, for he was about to willingly hand himself over and be crucified by their hands. We might be like those money changers on many accounts, but thanks be to God, there is one striking difference between us and them. St. Paul tells us that God has no patience with those who consider themselves clever, those who consider themselves wise, and so he works his salvation through the foolishness of the cross. For those who claim to be wise or clever, God has demonstrated their foolishness and has put them to shame by not working through the wisdom of the world, which tells us, which demands signs and wonders, and demands that justice be enacted right now. This is not the way, or this is the way which we would expect, but God does not desire to deal with us according to our sins. In fact, he desires to deal with us according to his grace and mercy. And so therefore he allows us to persist because he is patient. He offered up his own son as a ransom for the world. He has worked through the foolishness of the cross to save us. He has worked through what was shameful to take away our shame. He has worked through what was weak to bring us strength. He has worked through what is foolish to make us truly wise. To those who are called, to those who hear the message proclaimed and believe, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Through Christ and his crucifixion, God has made us to be his people by grace. For on the cross, our sin, our every transgression against his commandments was destroyed, that we might receive Christ's own righteousness and his sanctification and his redemption. Let us then not boast in ourselves, but in the Lord. For we have broken, we have shattered, we have utterly destroyed God's commandments. But in Christ there is repentance and the forgiveness of sins. For Christ has lived the perfect life that you or I could not. He obeyed the commandments perfectly. And therefore, when he died on the cross, he took our sin upon him. And in return, he lavishes upon you and upon me all his good gifts of grace and mercy on all those who believe and trust in him. So keep God's law before your eyes and in your heart, that you may continue to confess your sin, repenting of it and begging God for forgiveness. By doing so, God will take you from being weak and from being nothing, and he will make you into his own people, his own priesthood before the world, so that on the day when Christ comes and he will return in more glory and terror than he was at Sinai, we will have comfort, for we will hear the words God spoke to Moses and know, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of the house of slavery, showing steadfast love to thousands of those who loved me and keep my commandments. May we keep the word of God before our eyes always and keep his commandments, that we may continue to cry out to him and receive mercy for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.